In the summer of my 8th year, my mother had no money for a ticket. She found a long-distance truck driver, I have no idea how, to take me to the border and hand me over to another driver, who would drop me off at my grandparents' house. We were to meet at the freight depot. My mother was busy and could not stay. She deposited me and my suitcase at the entrance and ordered me not to budge from the spot. I stood there, anxiously watching each passing truck, relieved and discouraged in turn as they passed. They were bigger and made more of a roar and stink than I had realized. They were monsters. I don't know how long I waited. I was too young to have a watch. After a while, I perched on my suitcase and jumped up whenever a truck seemed to slow down and want to stop. Finally, one did stop. The driver hoisted me and the suitcase into the cabin, and his mate placed me in the bed behind the seat. They told me to keep my mouth shut and my head below the side of the bed and sleep. It was still light, but even after it got dark, I couldn't sleep. At first, the driver or his mate would turn and curse me if my head stuck up above the bed. Then, they forgot about me, and I could look outside. My field of vision was narrow, but I was able to watch the sun go down through the passenger seat window. I caught only fragments of the conversation between the driver and his mate. It had to do with the Americans and the French, deliveries and payments. I was almost lulled to sleep by the regularly recurring sound, the regular, restrained tremor of the truck as it passed over the large slabs forming the surface of the Autobahn in those days. But the Autobahn soon came to an end, and we drove over bad, hilly country roads where the driver could not dodge the potholes and was constantly shifting gears. It was an uneasy journey through the night. The truck kept stopping. Faces would appear in the side windows. The driver and his mate would climb in and out, let down the tailboard, shove the cargo around, and restack it. Many of the stops were factories and warehouses with bright lights and loud voices. Others were dark filling stations, rest areas, and open fields. The driver and his mate may well have combined their official duties with a bit of business on the side, smuggling or fencing, which lengthened their time on the road. In any case, by the time we reached the border, the truck I was supposed to meet had left, and I spent the dawn hours in a town whose name I do not recall. The main square had a church, a new building or two, and many roofless buildings with empty windows. As it began to get light, people came to set up a market, hauling sacks, crates, and baskets on large, flat, two-wheeled carts, to which they had hitched themselves between the shafts with loops over their shoulders. All night I had been afraid of the captain and his helmsman, of being attacked by pirates, of having to pee. Now I was afraid both of being picked up by someone who would do as he pleased with me, and of going unnoticed, being left to my own devices. Just as the sun grew so warm that I began to feel uncomfortable on the fully exposed bench, from which I dared not stray, a car with an open top stopped at the side of the road. The driver remained in the car, but the woman beside him got out, put my suitcase in the trunk, and pointed to the back seat. Whether it was the large car, the fancy clothes the driver and his companion wore, the self-assured and nonchalant way they had of moving, or the fact that just over the Swiss border they bought me my very first ice cream. For a long time thereafter, I pictured them whenever I heard or read about the rich. Were they smugglers or fences like the truck drivers? I found them equally creepy, though they were young and treated me with consideration, like a little brother, and delivered me to my grandparents in time for lunch.